Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the show, PSG's Ander Herrera with us to talk about the frustrations of the French league season ending early. Also, Sid and Ali reflect on that incredible game between Chelsea and Barcelona. Iniesta, of course, very much playing the starring role back in 2009. But we start, as we always do, by taking a look at the latest coronavirus news. And it is good news. The first in a very long time when it regards to football. The German government have given the green light for Bundesliga to resume behind closed doors later this month. The German Football League will meet on Thursday to determine the exact return date. Earliest possible return date is May the 15th. And the Bundesliga are committed to finishing the season by June the 30th. Julian Aron and Gab Marcotti are with us. Hooray! We're going to have some football before the end of the month. Gab, it looks like it's really going to happen. Why don't we know a date now? Isn't it all sorted already?
Well, there's just a couple points to go and resolve to do with. They'd requested initially a 14-day quarantine period before they could start. Then it looked as if they're going to accept the 8-day quarantine period. Some states haven't yet ratified the 8-day quarantine period. But yeah, who cares? I mean, it's been so long. What's another week? I'm rejoicing. I'm hyped. I'm amped. And Angela Merkel is a hero that's going to be appearing on my stamps.
And Neuer brought up a good point, Jules, talking about this, about how everybody now is going to be watching Germany, seeing how they did it, how they'll go forward with it. The pressure's on a bit.
Well, it is, but it isn't really, because we knew from a very long time now that they were way ahead of everybody else, that they had pretty much everything in place. The way they fought the pandemic was better than anybody else in Europe, at least. The way they prepared on how football could come back was better than anybody else as well. And we knew it was just a matter of maybe a week or so, as we were saying on the show yesterday, or the day before yesterday, for them to go back. But what was for sure is that if they could not go back, no one would be able to. And it's a very good news that they can go back May the 15th or the week after. Like a Gab, I don't think it matters so much, because we will see football and competitive football very soon. Great for the Bundesliga. Like Neuer says, everybody will be watching. Fantastic. Try to defend a bit better than you usually do, you Bundesliga players. But apart from that, it's great. And it will be an example for others to follow.
Why do you have to pick on the Bundesliga defense?
It's true. I mean, they average 5 goals per game. They can't defend. They don't even care about defending. But it's great. We will have all a lot of fun.
Oh, let's all go and watch Ligue 1, shall we? Watch PSG march to the title of 1 million points every year. Goodness me, we're excited. The Bundesliga's back, and you've got to be mean, Jules.
No, I'm not mean. It's just like, you know, my German friends, it's just a little dig. I would rather to see teams a bit more balanced than just going for it all the time. But it's fantastic. No,
Jules,
listen, more seriously, it's great football. It's great entertainment, Gab, and you know it. Don't start going like you love the Bundesliga, Gab.
But I'm saying is, Jules, if you don't love the Bundesliga as much as I do, you know what? You have alternatives, because this is something to celebrate. It's not just the Bundesliga that's very close to returning. It's other leagues, too. Poland and Denmark also getting very, very close. So, you know, the landscape is changing to the point that some leagues are actually considering, you know, we could come back. Is it worth our while to come back? We're just waiting, of course, for the other big beasts in Europe, the Premier League, La Liga, and Serie A, to figure out if they can come back. And, of course, that's going to take a little while longer.
And we'll be keeping a close eye on that as it develops. Just quickly, Gab, Leroy Sané's off to Bayern Munich, done and dusted.
Is he? Bayern Munich, in this time of pandemic, are going off and then spending money on a player that's been injured for the best part of the past 18 months? Don't know. Seems odd.
Jules, are you buying these stories?
Yeah, I think it will happen. We mentioned it on the show before. Gab being Gab, of course, he was always going to find that a bit odd. The fact is, they wanted Sané last summer. He got injured, which was very unfortunate for all parties. But he will be back at some point and probably back to his best. Let's hope for him. He's got 1 year left on his contract. It's a good deal to do for Bayern Munich and Manchester City. Well, I think they would rather sell him now than selling him or letting him go for free in a year time. And he wants to go back to Germany and go back to Bayern. So I think, again, everybody would be happy in that deal.
Boys, thank you very much. Gab mentioned it, didn't he, about the return of the Premier League. He's written an excellent, in-depth article, pretty much telling you everything you need to know that they are considering moving forward to try and get action back in England. You can check that out over on the website. PSG then, champions of France once again. However, Alexis Nunez talked to Ander Herrera and he spoke about his frustrations at the decision to cancel the league.
A title is always a title. It's good to finish your career and to be able to say I have won these titles. But you always want to have them in your memory, in your head. When you retire football, we won that title in that game against that team. We celebrated with our fans, and we haven't been able to do it. So all the teammates think like me. We are looking forward to be able to play the cups or the final, the cups final on the pitch, Champions League on the pitch, and hopefully, I know it's difficult right now. It's almost utopia. Is that good in English? But I hope we can play with fans, with supporters, because I have always said the same. Football without fans is nothing. Of course, it's important to play for the TV rights because there are a lot of money. There is a lot of money invested in this business, in this sport. But this business and this sport without fans is nothing.
Even though they've called off the league and they've crowned PSG champions, there's still the possibility of the Champions League to come back in August. What's the plan now, you know, for you if that happens? You know, how do you guys at least still keep fit?
I've been reading some news that some of the teams in Spain, in Germany, in Italy, they are back in training. At least they are back doing the test and doing all the medical stuff. But we have no news because France, the president and the first minister, they say we cannot play football all week. It's not possible to have sport events until September. Mm-hmm. So we have no news. Even the club, I think the club is quite lost about this situation. They don't know what to do. They don't know if we have to come back, because if we come back now, we have almost 3 months until we play the Champions League game. So it's crazy. And I think we will come back around July or something like this to train 1 month to prepare the Champions League. But I'm not optimistic. I'm not optimistic because as soon as there is one case, I think everything mm-hmm. will be finished. I wish I am wrong. Honestly, I wish I'm wrong. But I'm not very optimistic with all of this situation.
Speaking, of course, about PSG and that last match that you guys had against Dortmund, now that you know you've made that step further, if we do see the Champions League restart, do you feel like with this team and the momentum that you had, can PSG win the whole thing?
Yeah, I remember a couple of weeks or 3 weeks before the all this situation came, I spoke with Neymar, and we were having dinner, and he told me I had never been happier than now since I came to Paris. I have never felt as good as I feel now with the team, with the group. So I was, if one of the best players in the world, probably the one that can change games, the one that can bring you a trophy, to be honest, if he says that to you, imagine how I felt at that time. I was very optimistic. I was so hungry to play games, to fight for Champions League. And suddenly all this situation came. So I think it is the moment to do it. Also, Marco Verratti said that since he's in PSG, he had never had a team like this. Not only about the quality, also the group, the way we interact between us, the connection that we have between, because it's not easy, professional dressing room. We have people from different countries, but this was the year or the moment that I was feeling that something good can happen for the club. Something not good, because a lot of good things happened in the last few years for PSG, mm-hmm. but I mean something really massive can happen for the club and for the team. And all this situation came. What can we do now? We try to keep fit. I've been training at home. I bought a bike, a static bike. I don't know if it's mm-hmm. the right word in English. Now in Spain, it's a bit more open, the situation. We can go to do some exercise in the morning between 6 in the morning and 10, and then at night between 8 and 11. So I try to keep fit. I try to do as much as I can. I try to eat properly, just to be ready to what can come. Let's see what happens. Let's see the situation, what the government decides in France or the Champions League. To be honest, it's difficult to understand this situation because we have no news. But because I think even the people that is in bossing the situation, mm-hmm. or whatever, they don't really know what happened or what is going to happen the next few weeks. So let's try to keep positive, to keep fit, mentally strong, and do as much as we can.
Jules is still with us as well. Come Frank Leboeuf in as well. I thought some interesting stuff there, Frank, from Ander Herrera. Let's start with the fact, obviously frustrated that football isn't returning till September and he can't celebrate winning the league as you would in a regular season. I imagine that's something that you could empathise with.
Definitely. I mean, it's a hard time for all players who want to play, simply want to play football and also want to celebrate the title, and for Herrera the first title in France, and I can understand his frustration, but he knows the situation. He seems to be very confident that something can happen even during the summer with the Champions League, that maybe with the domestic cups, and that he's preparing at the best in Spain to make sure that as soon as the season or the end of the season starts, I mean in Champions League, not on the League One, he's going to be ready to work for Paris Saint-Germain.
Jules, I thought he spoke very well there. His frustration clear, and I imagine it must reflect what other players that you've spoken to are saying.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I think the fact also that the season was short like that with 10 remaining games for Paris, they could not play them. Like he said, could not celebrate with the fans. You could not play the two domestic cup finals as well, where PSG are still in. One against Lyon in the French Cup, one against Saint-Etienne in the League Cup as well for potential domestic treble. Again, one, we're not sure if those finals will be played or when they will be played or how they will be played. And for him, that's frustrating as well, because he could go for a treble, and right now he only has one league title, which is already great, but he could not celebrate it and could not even win it properly in a proper manner. So I can understand his frustration, and a lot of the others I spoke to are exactly the same. I think now they're just trying to focus on the Champions League, which is the next step now, hopefully, probably in August, but it's a long way away.
And of course, that was something that he touched on, Frank, looking ahead at the return of the Champions League. What do you do as a player? How do you prepare yourself for it? As a club, obviously, it's a long time, isn't it, between one match and another, and the next game being so big.
It's very complicating, and I think, and I'm pretty sure that Paris Saint-Germain players won't be ready. They will have to fight with their heart, the best they can, working very much all together to maybe have a chance to win something, and especially if the other clubs and other countries start and finish their seasons. He was talking about Italy, Germany or Spain. They will have game in their legs, as we say, and it will be a plus, definitely a plus for those players. Nothing can replace a football game and a real football game. Even friendly games don't replace a league game or a European Cup game or domestic cup game. That's a real problem for Paris Saint-Germain. They won't be 100% prepared comparing to the other European clubs. Sorry.
And this, of course, frustrating for PSG, Frank, because you heard him saying there, out with dinner with Neymar. Neymar saying he's the happiest he's ever been in France. Everything was coming together. And then, obviously, this, a massive roadblock for them.
Yeah, it seems to be a curse over Paris Saint-Germain club. And the fact that even if, for once, you know, the player seems to stick together, ready to fight all together. Something happened, and that's the virus, and now everything is in jeopardy. So that's the real problem for the club. For the first time that Neymar was feeling good at Paris Saint-Germain, it's really a curse that we can't see that.
Jules, it's interesting because we talk about PSG and the dynamic in that dressing room. Herrera seems like he's got nothing to gain by lying about it. Genuinely, he's saying that, you know, it seems like a good group.
Yes, and I think that's true. There's been tensions in the past, and you remember the penalty gate and Neymar and Cavani. We also remember this season, Mbappe and Thomas Tuchel having public spats when either he didn't start Mbappe in the Champions League, for example, or he took him off before the end of the game against Nantes or Montpellier. You know, those things happen, but they happen in every dressing room, in every club, in every squad. So I think there was a lot of focus on the PSG squad at times, and I think that was right. And there was a lot of things that were happening in there. When Ibra was there, it was a very similar issue too. But I think things are better now, probably because Neymar is happier. And I think when Neymar is happier, he gets involved with a lot of different people. It's not just the South American together, the French together, the Spanish speakers together, and that kind of things. I think there's more harmony in that dressing room, like we've seen in the last few weeks. And it's a real shame that this break happened, because they were really gaining momentum, and also, like Ander just said, the happiness was very much there in the dressing room.
He's right, isn't he, in the fact that nobody really knows what's going to happen, how they're going to address the situation, when they're going to be back training, how they're going to prepare for the Champions League. That's something that must be frustrating for the players as well, Jules.
Oh yeah, very frustrating. From what I was told, there's not a plan yet in place at the club, because the next game will probably be at some point in August. So there's not real any points of the players still working really hard now when you're at the beginning of May and you still have 2.5 months to go before you potentially have a game, an official game. So I think they can give them a break, and maybe mid-June, when they should be able to go back training, even individually, they can go back to the Camp des Loges and the training ground. And then maybe in July, you start getting a bit harder training for the whole team, for the whole squad. Hopefully they will be able to train all together by then, by July. And then you try to be ready, like Frank was saying, somehow. Maybe you play some friendly matches, I don't know, but you're ready for the start of August when the Champions League is supposedly going to come back.
Frank, you'll be going mad, wouldn't you?
Yes, I was thinking about that when Jules was answering to your question, and you say, it never happened. And maybe the last, I would say the last 8 years of my career, I was playing in England, and then I went back to Marseille, but I played for the national team, and I had maybe like 15 days, 3 weeks holidays per year. So you think, you sleep, you eat, you drink football, and you never think about, you know, when I'm going to rest. And now they have to think about that. And the last time that I thought about that is when I retired from football. And wake up in the morning and you say, yeah, okay, what am I going to do now? And that's what they must think, because they can't even prepare properly. They can't even train. They can go to the training ground and try to do some physical works to make sure they're going to be ready. So some can do some, and I know in Paris, some must players now live inside in Paris itself. So they can't really move from their apartments. So it's complicated and must be a nightmare. I think about them, and when you're a football player or you want to be on the field, it must be a nightmare every day. But it's what it is, and you have to accept the situation. But I deeply think about them, and I'm pretty sure, and I'm almost sure that it must be a nightmare for them.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, guys. Be sure to join us tomorrow, the second part of that Hander Herrera interview, where he talks about Kylian Mbappe. And
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
11 years ago to the day, Barca booked a place in the Champions League final. This graphic is terrible, and it's not the person who made it fault. It's just impossible to encapsulate the drama of this game in a graphical form, because it was just so full of drama throughout. A brilliant goal from Essien, and of course that late equaliser for Andres Iniesta, giving Barca the away goal victory. But so much controversy within it as well. So welcome in Ali Moreno and Sid Lowe. Boys, I haven't watched too much football, to be honest, over the last few weeks, but I did rewatch this game. It did make me miss the sport, because it really is only Champions League nights like that one at Stamford Bridge that can deliver the sort of drama we saw, Sid.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned Michael Essien's goal, because that was the thing that really struck me today watching it back, or at least watching back the highlights. And as you say, the story of this game is all focused on that incredibly dramatic late winner, late equaliser that effectively was a winner from Andres Iniesta. It's focused, of course, on the controversy surrounding the possible penalty decisions for Chelsea and the referee of Ribol. But we forget, I think, the first goal was so good, and we forget because it becomes buried under all of those other layers, under all of those other elements of drama throughout the 90 minutes. And you're right. I know it hurts for Chelsea fans the way it ended. And I know for Barcelona fans, it's all about the fact that they got to the final. But actually, sometimes there is something to be said for just the enjoyment of the kind of the wildness of the night itself.
VAR would have painted a very different story, though, Ali.
Yes, I hope so. The name of Tom Henning Overbol, hasn't been heard since. He was indeed the referee for the night, and I have to tell you, what a night he had. And it's so very difficult to kind of put aside the idea that a referee's decision can change the destiny of a team. And in that particular evening, it was so true that a referee should have made these decisions. Whether you had VAR at the time or not, look, these were egregious handballs. The one by Pique is a handball 100% of the time, and the one laid by Eto'o and the shot by Michael Ballack, who we then see chasing down the referee, and I think that's what made it even more dramatic, that this is in the 90-plus minute. Ballack hits this volley as sweet as he can hit it, and the arm is extended away from the body of Samuel Eto'o. And so, yes, you're right. In essence, Dan, if you had spun this forward and VAR was in play, there should have been, I'm assuming that VAR would get the call right, there should have been at least two penalties awarded for Chelsea. And the history for Chelsea may have been different, and certainly the history for Barcelona and that Barcelona team may have been different as well. So the name again, Tom Henning Overbol, do not forget it. He, on that night, kept Chelsea from advancing.
But if it wasn't for him, we may not see a lot of 11-year-olds walking around in Catalonia, because, of course, what's been reported today, a 30% spike after that goal from Andres Iniesta in the birth rate 9 months later. And, of course, if Iniesta, you're on lockdown in Japan, what do? You ring up some of those children, Sid.
Yeah, I absolutely love this story, and admittedly it is a little bit strange when you start to kind of unpack it and work out what's actually happening here. I mean, first of all, let me just kind of slightly contradict what Ali says, in so much as I can assure you, Ali, the name of Overbol has not been forgotten in Spain. In fact, it's his name that is all over this game if you're not in Catalonia. Everyone else in Spain talks about him all the time. But yeah, the other man they talk about is Andres Iniesta. A spokeswoman at a hospital in Barcelona said that she'd seen around about a 50% spike, but that was anecdotal evidence. There was then a study carried out which said that, look, we need to be careful about this. We need to not push this too far. But it is true that we can tentatively suggest around about a 16% rise in birth rates because of this. And the study, I really like this, because the study was clearly partly tongue-in-cheek. It said, you know, at moments of huge tension and excitement and joy and happiness, you can see spikes in the birth rate. Now, we recognise that some of our researchers who are Barcelona fans may well be a little bit biased, and so there may be some problems with the methodology here. And what we really need to do, of course, is to study this again in a different event. So hopefully Andres Iniesta can do this again so that we can study it again. Well, as far as Iniesta's concerned, it's happened. And as you say, today he phoned two Barcelona fans who were born just after, 9 months after that, to the back end of January the following year. And he didn't phone them up to say happy birthday, because of course it's 9 months until their birthday, but he did phone them up to say hello to them. I'm glad to point out at this stage, though, that the conversation wasn't about what's happened in terms of them coming about, but it was just a Barcelona player phoning up a couple of Barcelona fans whose parents are, obviously, Barcelona fans, and saying, how are you? How's things going? Although one of the parents does say, you know what? It was my older brother who worked it out. When my son was born, he got the calendar, went for it, and said, hang on a minute, Iniesta's done this.
All right, hold on a second. I got a question for Sid. If that was at the Barcelona and Catalunya level, then what happens when Iniesta scores in the World Cup Final for Spain in 2010? I want those numbers. Give me all full picture. Yeah. Sid. Don't just give me the Barcelona
picture. We haven't
picture.
Got time. We have no exactly. time. We're running out of time. We can't go into the numbers of Iniesta and the birth rate. Maybe we'll do that on Extra Time. Boys, thank you very much for now. Sid and Ali with us again to discuss birth rates in Catalonia, in Spain, around the world, when Iniesta scored that winner in the World Cup final. On Extra Time, you can check out on YouTube.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Napa Know How.
Father's Day knickknacks, that funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Obviously a fluid situation at the moment as we tape the show. News just coming in that the Bundesliga has set a date. May the 15th is when action will return in Germany. We cannot wait for that, of course. Thank you very much to everyone who's been on today. Thank you to Gab, to Jules, to Frank, to Ali and to Sid. By the way, Extra Time still to come. Ali and Sid answering your tweets. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Ali Moreno and Sid Lowe with us. Sid, the first question quite apt because a lot of people have been picking up about the number of Luis Suarez books you have on your bookshelf. Prime Luis Suarez or Prime Lewandowski?
Oh, Luis Suarez by miles. But I do like Lewandowski a lot, but Luis Suarez.
Ali?
Well, that was a backhanded compliment for Lewandowski. I do like Lewandowski. However, Luis Suarez by a mile. I agree with Sid, though. I'm going to take Luis Suarez. Not by a mile, but I'll take Luis Suarez.
Ali, have you seen any managers that have been completely in over their heads in taking a job, for example, Gary Neville at Valencia?
Recently, I would say David Moyes at Manchester United. I could also say, and I saw this firsthand, Diego Maradona with Argentina. And the fact that he stuck around as long as he did is it's simply because of his name and what he means to the Argentinian people. But he was all over the place as a manager, and that team had zero, and I mean zero, organization.
Sid?
Well, I just really like the Neville thing. I think one of the things that always struck me about Neville at Valencia, and that I could never properly get my head around, was that the way that Valencia, not Gary, it's not Gary Neville's fault, the way that Valencia projected this as if Gary Neville was doing them a favour. You know, doing them a favour at a difficult time. It's okay, we've got this guy who's going to help us out. Now, I say this as someone who admires Gary Neville, who thinks that in the right circumstances, Gary Neville could have been the right manager, or a good manager for an important club. But it's not doing Valencia a favour to bring in someone who's never been a manager before. Valencia are the third or fourth biggest club in Spain. They're an absolutely massive club. And I could never understand how the club projected it as if they were the ones being helped out. What, by giving someone who's got no managerial experience whatsoever the job? That's not helping you out.
Sid, I've noticed a few legends mention Michael Laudrup as their favourite player. Compared to Iniesta or Silva, how does he compare to the legends in his position, Sid?
Oh, he was a gorgeous player, Michael Laudrup. very, very smooth, very clever, technically brilliant. A guy who, I mean, to use the basketball kind of comparison, I suppose he'd be like a Magic Johnson, you know, passes without looking, smoothness in the way he played, the vision, the quality, just fantastic. And I know some of our viewers will know this, but I really love the fact that he was at Barcelona, and he was at Barcelona when they beat Real Madrid 5-0 exactly. And I mean this, exactly 1 year later, he was at Real Madrid when Barcelona were beaten 5-0 by Real Madrid. At the end of the game, Michael wasn't a player that was particularly shouty or made a lot of noise. At the end of the game, the assistant manager at Real Madrid goes into the dressing room, and Michael Laudrup is sitting there, and very quietly, in a given moment, Michael Laudrup kind of looks up at him and gives him a sort of a gentle smile and says, "I won 10-0.
Ali, how good was he?
Silky. He was just silky smooth, gliding all over the field. He was a talent in not only in the way that he played, but the way that he viewed the game, and that vision in the final third, his ability to find spaces in the final third, the passing. And he was Luis Figo before there was a Luis Figo. He was a different type of player with a different type of vision, with a different type of mentality as well. And a guy that just kind of flew under the radar, maybe perhaps because of that personality that Sid is talking about, rather quiet, and there was somebody else kind of ahead of him. At Juventus, it was Michel Platini that was sort of taking the headlines. And then Barcelona, other players just kind of stepped to the forefront, and he quietly, behind everybody, he's just doing his work and killing people doing it and winning matches to nothing.
Of course, great news today. Bundesliga will be back before the end of the month. Which Bundesliga club should I support? I will say Borussia Mönchengladbach because it's just fun to say. Ali?
Which? Well, I suppose if you want the atmosphere of Borussia Dortmund, that they're worse places to be. I would assume that watching a game in Borussia Dortmund, although right now wouldn't be the time to do that, so I don't suppose that that would be a good enough reason to pick out Borussia Dortmund, but I do like the way they play, so I'm going to go with Dortmund.
Which German side should we support, Sid?
Well, I don't really know enough about German football, but it is true that the times that I've been in Dortmund and been at that stadium, it is fantastic. It's fantastically enjoyable. So it's tempting to go for that. And just, you know, that yellow wall is wonderful, isn't it?
Dan, Ali, I missed a very good opportunity, Dan. Leipzig!
Go on.
Yes, that's what I'm going after.
What about Martin Plattenhardt? Where, I forget who he plays for.
It's actually, Dan, I have to correct you, it's Marvin Plattenhardt.
Oh, no. I've made a fool of myself.
Yes, you are.
Okay. I can't wait for it to be back. Oh, my. Right. Ali, I've been wandering around my job. I work at a dental office using your 100% line to answer appropriate questions. But I don't think anyone watches ESPN FC, so no one seems to get it. Any other lines of yours you could suggest to use at work?
Well, if they're not watching ESPN FC, they would not be able to appreciate Lukaku. You can appreciate that.
No.
Well, you know what? When somebody does something right at work, you can just go with an oldie but a goodie. He put that where my grandmother answered close. See if they understand that.
Back tooth, maybe. Back tooth issues. Perfect. Cavity filled. Bang. Place to go. Since Sid's been covering La Liga, which Real Madrid manager's post-match press conference was the most interesting to sit through? Ooh.
Well, in a way, that's almost too easy, isn't it? The very famous Jose Mourinho. I mean, there were lots of them, but the particularly famous one was his response to saying that Guardiola should be embarrassed to get to the Champions League final the way that he did when he started talking about Busaka and Frisk and Ovrebo and so on. And he went into that long rant and he kept asking the question why, which of course many of you will know is por qué in Spanish, but the way he said it was particularly whiny. It was kind of por qué, and for a very long time, people took the mickey out of him quite a lot for that.
Are the rumours about Luka Jovic joining AC Milan from Real Madrid true, Sid?
Well, there's no rumours that are true at the moment, in the sense that nothing is happening, everything is on hold, no one really knows where this goes. Real Madrid don't have a huge desire to let him go. That said, I suppose if there was a huge offer, I do think that they would contemplate it. But no, this isn't something that is on the verge of happening by any means.
Final question. Out of Dan, Sid and Ali, who speaks the best Spanish and why is it Dan? What from Spanish do I remember? Tienes novio is one. Y cerveza, por favor. I think that's all I needed, wasn't it?
Oh dear.
You got all the bases covered, Dan. Yes.
That's it.
I'm fair. Que
guapa.
Sure,
que guapa it is.
Well.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too. That's a good one, too.
That's right. That's
nice to know that the person who sent in the question that actually my native language is Spanish. I'm just merely suggesting, you know.
I just love the fact that our viewers are getting a fantastic insight into the smooth charm that is Dan Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. 4 o'clock in the morning.
What a moment. Who doesn't want the smooth and charm of Dan Thomas? Are you kidding me?
Sid's telling me maybe it's time to go home.
Yes. Maybe it was a couple of hours ago, in fact.
Yeah, that is it. Thank you very much, guys. Oh, goodness me. Good old times. Now, here with the kids. Great. Okay, right. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us.
Homeschooling the kids. Don't forget that.